Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our service this morning and be the first to say Happy Father's Day to all our fathers here this morning. We'll be recognizing them later in the service. Good to see everyone here today. We're going to ask that you stand with us as we join in to sing Our God Reigns and To Him Who Sits on the Throne. Let's join in together. Having visitors, special welcome to you. Greet each other as we sing To Him Who Sits on the Throne.
To Him Who Sits on the Throne and unto the Lamb. To Him Who Sits on the Throne and unto the Lamb. Be blessing and glory and honor and sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To Him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Be blessing and glory and honor and power forever. Be blessing and
seated.
Good morning, folks. Happy Father's Day, as you have said. We're glad that you're here today. We welcome you to our service. We also welcome those who are watching by Facebook and YouTube and those who listen by way of radio. We welcome you to our Sunday morning service here at Blair Land. Today is the day that the Lord's made, and we rejoice and we are glad in that. I'm glad that you're here today. At this time, we're going to recognize our fathers. So if our helpers would come at this time. All fathers, please stand. Fathers, would you stand? We have a gift for you. When you receive your gift, you may be seated. You got one in the back, Jackson.
There's one in. Stop.
Okay, did everybody get one? Supposed to? Okay. Let's give our fathers and helpers a hand. Thank you. I'll be preaching today from Luke 15, and I'll be talking about our Heavenly Father. So we'll be talking about that from Luke chapter 15. May we pray together. Lord, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for our fathers. We pray today that you would be with them and help them, give them strength. And then for the memories that we have of our fathers who are in heaven, I pray that you'd give us comfort today. And we thank you for their influence on our lives, even still. And Lord, we pray today that we would look to you as our Heavenly Father. You are the one who provides for us. You are the one who gives us strength. And we love you today. So help us to honor you today in this service. And may we lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Just a few announcements that's in your bulletin this morning. Remember us in prayer as we take some kids to Student Life Camp next week. We'll be leaving tomorrow around 11 o'clock, come back on Thursday. And then our mission trip to Honduras will be coming up July 2nd through the 9th. So remember that. And I had Leslie put in the bulletin the impact the food ministry, the food distribution is doing here in our community. Last month, we served 130 households. And total number of people, 578, with 6,000 pounds of food. I can tell you it was more than that this Friday. So we'll be recruiting more volunteers coming up in July. We'll have to have some more help. So I'll be trying to get more help set up ahead of time for our distribution in July. So that's the impact you're having on Loudoun County here at our church with Second Harvest. So we thank them for their partnership with that. Also, there's an announcement in your bulletin for an upcoming event in August. That's the consignment sale. So you can take note of that. Read the information that's listed there on that. We're going to continue with our song service this morning. We'll sing God of Our Father, We Adore Thee, and How Great Thou Art. And you join in with us as we sing today.
My Savior God to thee, how great
sinners can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me. Great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
It's a great song of how great our loving Heavenly Father is, and we're going to continue with that theme, and we're going to focus on the goodness of God and His goodness to us. So, a very familiar song, one of our favorite we like to sing is The Goodness of God. So, if you could stand with us and join in as we sing the first one, you can sit on the second one. The goodness of God.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life you have been faithful. You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkness, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have been in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. If my life lay down, I'm surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness. is running after, is running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. So good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. You may be seated. All of our life, he has been faithful and so, so good to us. We're going to continue with that theme with a very familiar song you know well. Good, good Father, you sing with us this morning.
Father, it's who you are.
Father, you have been so faithful and so good. We thank you for loving us unconditionally. God, I pray as you teach us to love like you love us, help us to be the Father that you've shown us. Help us to show that love to others each and every day. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sin. Open our hearts as we receive your word this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, worship team and congregation, for the music this morning. Luke 15, verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give to me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land. He began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. No one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near the house. He heard the music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who had devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It is right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Do you notice how this famous story here ends? It's open-ended. In other words, we don't know whatever happened to the older brother, if he ever reconciled with his father and his brother, or anything like that. This story that we're talking about is very unique in many ways. It's unique in its ending, because the reason it's open-ended is because it depends on your choice and my choice. It depends on how we respond to the Father. There are three main characters in the story. There is the prodigal son, there is the father, and there is the older brother. The prodigal son in the story represents those who come to faith in Jesus Christ, who come back to a relationship with Him, who are reconciled with Him, who put personal faith in God, and have a relationship with the Father. The Father in this story represents God. It is a picture of God. Jesus wants us to see God in the picture of a Heavenly Father. There are many portraits in the Bible about God. There are many portraits in the Bible that reveal God to us. But my personal favorite is right here in Luke 15, where we see this portrait of God as a Father. You know what that means? That means that He's a Father who loves us, a Father who cares, a Father who provides for us, a Father who has compassion. That is what we see in this story of the Father. And then the third character in the story is the older brother. He represented the scribes and the Pharisees of that day. One of the ways to understand the parables in the Bible, certainly, is to try to understand something of the culture of that day. The people that Jesus talked to about this story would understand exactly every detail and every aspect of this story. But see, these scribes and Pharisees, they were very self-righteous. They had the attitude of this older brother. They didn't think that they needed, forgiveness. They thought they was okay. And eventually, what was their choice? Their choice was to reject Jesus. That's what they did. They had no part with Jesus. And so that's the pictures and characters that you see. But tucked away in this familiar story is the story that I want to emphasize today, and it is the story of this parable. And that is the story of the Father. So we're going to talk about that today. We see a loving Father. We see a Father of compassion and a Father of concern. Now let me ask you this. What brought this son back to the Father? You know what it was? It was his memory of the goodness of his Father. He trusted in that goodness. He trusted in his Father's compassion. How did he know about the goodness and compassion and love of his Father? Because that's what he was raised up in. He knew that. And so he knew the character of the Father. So what this story is telling us is the character of our Heavenly Father is one of love, one of compassion, one of understanding, one that is reaching out to us. So that's what we see. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 that it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So that's what brought him back when he started thinking about all that was going on in his life. So the real message about the story is the Father. The central focus is the loving grace of this Father that we see. In Psalm 89:26, listen to the words of the psalmist. And here again you see the picture of God as our Father. The psalmist said, "Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." When Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, how did he teach them to pray? What did he start with? He said, "When you pray, pray, our Father who art in heaven." So the picture that Jesus wants us to get of God is one of a Heavenly Father who has compassion and love an understanding for us. There's a famous German preacher. I can't pronounce his name. I'm not going to try it. I do good to talk Tennessee stuff. But anyway, this German pastor, he titled this chapter, The Waiting Father. And I think that's a good description of the Father that we see in this story. Here is a waiting Father. You see, the idea of the waiting Father helps us to understand God. The way you see God in this story really reveals how you think about God. So what Jesus wants us to do is this, to think the right kind of way about God. And the way we think about God is that we think about Him as a father who loves, who cares, who provides for His family, who provides for His children, and has a love and understanding. So the waiting Father shows us God's grief. In verse 12 there, the Bible tells us that there came a time for a decision. And the decision was to this son, to let him go. And so that's what he had to do. The younger came to the father and said, give me the portion that falls to me. So he divided them, see, the younger and older son. He divided both of them, their inheritance, and they divided it, and he went his way. The Bible tells us that what the younger son did was gather it all together. Now, what's the important thing about that? He didn't want the property. He didn't want to stay home. He didn't want to care about handing it down to the next generation like they did. All he wanted was the money. So any assets that came to him that could be liquidated for finances, that's what he wanted. So he took it. The father wasn't glad to get rid of his boy. He wasn't. The father in the story wasn't mad about his request, but there was a deep grief in the father's heart. How do you see God? You see, God is not an angry God. God is not a God who gets mad when we wander off and we kind of go our own way. You see, He gives us freedom of choice. And the spiritual point in this story is this, that God loves us so much that He gives us that spiritual freedom to make those choices. Junior Hill's famous evangelist, Jason, you probably know Junior, but Junior's talking about when his boy got married. And some of you have been through that. When a daughter or son gets married, you know what that is. You know what it is when a son or daughter leaves home and all that kind of thing. Well, anyway, Junior said that he's getting ready to go to the wedding. He said, I made up my mind that I'm not going to cry. So Junior said he wasn't going to cry when he got to the wedding. Junior goes on telling the big story, you know, about getting ready for the wedding, going and everything. And here's what he said. He said, I walked in the church house and saw the flowers and started crying. He said, I just boo-hooed before the service even started. Well, you see, we know what that is. And we understand that. If you're a parent, you understand that. And you know what this story is talking about. And so the father, you know, he really didn't want this to happen. But he loved him enough to let him go. He knew when to hold on and he knew when to let go. And see, that's what God is. God gives us that freedom of choice. We're not robots. God didn't create us as puppets. And so we understand that we have this freedom. Now, both boys really made the father sad. The part on this boy was his rebellion on the younger one, but the older one was his self-righteousness. So you got a lot going on in the story. But we know this, that when we wander from God, it breaks His heart. We know that. And when we get out of whack with Him, it breaks His heart. Think about what Jesus said when He looked on the city of Jerusalem And I think it really exposed the feelings of God. Listen to what he said in Luke 13 when he looked on Jerusalem. "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how would I have gathered you as children together, and you would not." So he's grieved over the lostness of humanity. He's grieved over our wandering. I mean, it breaks his heart. When you think about this chapter, you think about lostness, you think about the lost sheep. And so what did the shepherd do? What did God do in the shepherd? He went out and found the sheep. The woman who was searching for the corn that was lost, what did she do? Well, just like God, she kept searching and she found the corn. And just like this son, the father didn't give up on the son. He kept watching for him, waiting for him, until the son comes home. One of the characteristics of God that often is overlooked, you know, we think about his mercy, his grace, his love, his faithfulness, compassion. But one of the great characteristics of God that you find in the Bible is one of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible says that he is in the place of joy in Chronicles. So that's a characteristic. When you look at Jesus in John 15 particularly, you see where Jesus said, "My heart is filled with joy." And so when lost souls are recovered, when lost people are reconciled, when lost people are saved, it creates joy. It creates joy in heaven. It creates joy in us. It creates joy in the heart of God. Then you see God's interest here. This young man that went away had already kind of practiced his confession speech that he was going to make to his father. But in verse 20, the Bible says, we see the attitude of the father, and the attitude of the father was that, "But when he was a great way off, his father saw him." The Bible says that this young man came to himself. He came to that place of dependency, of really understanding that his only solution was in God. His only hope was to go back to Father. But also what's implied here is this. Here's what's implied by the story. The Father saw him. The Father's been watching for him. Father's been waiting for him. When Nancy and I got married, soon after that, we moved to Chattanooga. My daddy would get upset with me because we wouldn't come home every weekend. I mean, we couldn't. We just couldn't come home every weekend and everything. But I had the feeling when we had those opportunities, we come in on the weekend, you know what he's doing? He's watching for us. And he's looking for us. And see, that's our Heavenly Father. That's the picture of our Heavenly Father. He's wanting you to come to him. He's looking out there to those who've wandered off, to those who've lost, to those who need to come back home to him. He's watching and he's waiting. So we see that compassion in him. You see, the Father took the initiative here just like God does with us. God takes the initiative. Rather than waiting on the Son, you know what the Father did? He ran to meet the Son. Now again, when you go to the culture, here's what you understand about the story. Noblemen in the Middle East did not run. That's something they did not do. But he didn't care about that. He was going to go to his son. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. He is a seeking Savior. He's a seeking God. And he's reaching out to those who need to come to him. Dr. Harold Bryson was preaching professor at New Orleans Seminary. A lot of those professors, they would teach during the week in class, and then on the weekends, they would scatter out in Mississippi and New Orleans and some even to Alabama to pastor small churches on the weekend. Dr. Bryson had a small country church in the southern part of Mississippi. If you've ever been down there, you know that it's very rural area. But in Mississippi at that time, in that farming area, they had what they called a free Roman law, which meant that the cattle did not have to be fenced in. Now, you'd want them fenced in, but you didn't have to fence them in. But the cattle could roam and graze anywhere they wanted to go. And they would have signs up all over the roadway, to watch out for the cattle. Well, anyway, Dr. Bryson had one of his buddies in there with him, one of the guys at church, and they'd been out visiting. And the guy said, "Now, Bryson, when you go down this road, you need to take it slow." Bryson said, "Why?" He said, "The man said, because I've got a cow out here that I haven't found yet, and I don't want you to run over the cow." Bryson said, "How long has that cow been missing?" He said, "4 years." That cow had been missing. And that old boy said, "I love that cow." And he said, "I'm not going to give up on that cow." And Bryson said, "It just hit me. If he loved that cow so much that he hadn't given up on him in 4 years, just think how much our Heavenly Father loves us." And what a beautiful picture that is, I think, of the Father's love for us. The Lord Jesus Christ presented himself as the Father in this story, the one who left glory, the one who left heaven, who came to this earth, and he died on the cross for our sins. That's how much he loves us. And then we see we see God's welcome here. God welcomes people in order to forgive them of sin. God gives new life to those who repent and trust in him. In verse 24, "For this my son was dead." Now look at the spiritual point here. He was dead, not physically, dead spiritually. "My son was dead and is alive again." He'd been born again, saved, spiritual life. He is alive. He was lost, and now he's found. So we see this in this beautiful story. As we look at our Heavenly Father, I've jotted down these notes. Here's what we see. We see him with an open hand. We may wander away from him, but he's always standing there with that open hand. He is. Saying, "Come back. Come back to me. Come back to where you need to be. Come on back. Come on home." He'll never give up. But we see him with open arms. And the open arms was open. The young man came back. He had a change of mind. He had a change of heart about his father, about the situation he was in. You know what the Bible calls that? The theology of that word would be repentance. And that's what the Bible says that we've got to do. We come on God's term. When we come to him, we repent of our sin. We put faith and trust in him. And that's exactly what this young boy did. He had a change of mind. He had a change of heart. He got out there. He realized it wasn't what he thought it'd be. So he said, "I'm going back home. I'm coming back to God. I'm coming back to the Father." And that's his invitation today. But we see him with an open heart. Now, there were two boys in the story. The most valuable gift that this father gave to his boys is the same thing that we as fathers can give to our children. You know what it is? Presence. He was present for the younger son when he came back, but also he was present with that older boy who would not come into the house. And so he gave both of his sons something that was very valuable. That was his presence. And as fathers, I think that's a good example for us to see here. But really, like I said, the focus of the story here is God. Now, where did God open his heart? God opened his heart on Calvary. His arms are wide open on Calvary when he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish the real message on this Father's Day, and then I'll close here, is that we have a Heavenly Father who loves, who cares, who has open hands, open arms, and an open heart to receive us exactly where we are. And that's the story. The good news is in 2 Corinthians 6:18, listen to this. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. The only way to father those is through the Son, through Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Like I said, this story is open-ended. And the reason it's open-ended is because that's how the Lord wanted to leave it. What's your choice? What's your decision? What are you going to do with Jesus? And that's the point of the story here. Like I said, what's represented in the older son is the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious people, the self-righteous people who didn't think that they needed to be saved or repentance or anything like that. They rejected it. So again, you've got to put yourself in the story. I've got to put myself in the story, and then we make the application of the story to our own lives. But I'll tell you this, God is waiting wherever you are. God's waiting on you, and He will never give up on you. Why? Because He is a loving Heavenly Father. Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, we thank You for the day. We thank You for this wonderful story that we find in the Bible. We thank You that You are a waiting Father for those, Lord, today who need to come and establish that relationship with You. I pray that they would come today. Lord, wherever we wander, we know that wherever we are, that we always come back to You because You're waiting, You're watching, You're looking, and You want us to reconcile with You. You want us to be in fellowship with You. You want us to have that relationship with You. And so, Father, today we pray that during this invitation time that we would think about Your goodness and Your love, Your mercy, Your compassion, all Your provision to us. Lord, You're a great Father. You are our Father. And we thank You for all that You do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together, please.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee.
Thank you for being here today. As you go through this week, just think about open hands, open arms, and open heart. And think about this portrait of God, because it's one of the great pictures of God that we find in the Bible. I trust you have a good day today. Go in God's grace and go in His mercy today. Again, happy Father's Day. Thank you for being here.
As we close this morning, we're going to sing Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich.
Thank you. You're dismissed.